Good evening and welcome once again to the galaxy's most thorough, if a little bit chaotic, insight into all the news that you didn't know, or that you thought you know, or knew, or didn't even know you needed to know. I'm your host, Rudolf Hucker. Joining me in the studio tonight, we have the usual band of misfits that is the Hutton Orbital News Team.
I'm Mayor Harkness, the Apology Officer, and later in the show, I'll be letting Lou have a go for once at digging into the obscure spots that form the Hutton Weekly Roundup as sponsored by the Hutton Helper. Oh, and we're very, very sorry.
I'm Harry Balzac, and I've got one hand on our chat feed, one pen on the script, and both feet up on the desk.
I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I'll be reading the news before changing into my alter ego, Amelia Hawk, and going hunting for some edible rares.
I'm Nora Snookers, and I'll be looking at what the rest of the community is up to before pushing the magic button on my Hollow Me and transforming into Flossie.
I'm Lou. I'm just warming this seat. Oh, and telling you what's up in Hutton space. We've also got Commander Wotherspoon with the Galnet News Digest and the latest from the Sky Tonight team. But first...
The headlines.
All are welcomed, bar none.
Premature preambulation leads to space-like speculation.
Zoom to the boom, new stations caught short.
There's a new cowboy outfit coming, and no, it's not Eddie Lee Wise and Sons.
Webster lost for words.
Hotbox Hotboss wins the toss.
For once, there are proper things to do in the galaxy, so pay attention.
News about all the opportunities from the communities.
Station commanders, faction leaders and system representatives throughout the galaxy are preparing job descriptions, person specs and knotty interview questions, as it looks like 3307 is going to be a bumper year for employment in the service industry. For too long, pilots have been confined to their ships, only allowed to visit station washroom facilities, and only then if they're really busting, on visiting their favourite Coriolis or outpost. With the Pilots Federation revealing in recent months that restrictions on visiting atmospheric bodies would be removed, and commanders licensed to set foot on alien worlds without the need to have a driver's license, the galaxy is abuzz that commanders will finally be allowed to set foot in the more private areas of stations. Yes, the bar. Licensing authorities have agreed to open station bars, normally only available to local people from local factions, to all and sundry, and provide services including grabbing a dodgy mission from that seedy-looking guy in the waistcoat and his airy friend, leafing through the latest bounty board looking for a likely target, and maybe even buying a beverage or two. Station owners are appealing for anyone with skills in pouring fluids from a bottle in a cup in zero gravity, reminding droids that we don't serve your type here, and of course breaking up the obligatory bar fight when some oaf decides it's funny to jump around and knock over the crockery whilst waving a beam laser about, to apply for one of their new service posts aboard a nearby station. It's expected that they will be joined by appraisers of space junk, who will suck through their teeth and tell you that the lump of metal you've found at that crashed Anaconda is the co-pilot seat reclining arm and worth 10 credits. And that's if you're really lucky. And of course, for anyone with a degree in xenobiology from Galnet University, a bevy of tinfoil-hatted scientists waiting to stick their probe into all manner of gooey alien stuff. Rumours that the current management team, including our very own progenitor Leolwulf, yes, we know her title keeps changing, but she'll always be a progenitor to us, will be facing unemployment as she gets replaced with a more customer service orientated and Pilots Federation approved personality are not given much credence at the moment. When asked by a reporter for Galnet for comment, she apparently kicked him in the airlock and then threatened to pull the big lever. Of course, Hutton Orbital will welcome all our friends from the NPC Employment Bureau and promise that we won't walk around poking with things to see if they're real.
Hand in hand with the reveal regarding the new station bars, the Pilots Federation have launched an investigation into a number of time discrepancies at Shinrata Desratan, which appears to be running a little fast once again. Where for the rest of the galaxy earlier this week, it registered that the day was Tuesday. The clocks and calendars at Shinrata swore it was Wednesday, and duly published a series of video articles about their forthcoming licensing laws. Pilots Federation representative and spokesperson, Commander Yoshida Tolmi, commented that it was a bad day to give up Onion Head, as he hastily cobbled together a call center, video explanation, and impromptu Gulltwit campaign to stick the proverbial finger in the leak before all got out of hand. A reward has been issued for information leading to the identity of whoever has been messing with the desk calendars over at Shinrata, and a bounty issued for their successful capture. Of course, no one in the galaxy actually minded that tomorrow had become today, and indeed, when tomorrow was reached, yesterday actually happened, and there was good news all round. Commander Wotherspoon of the Galnet Digest is considering opening a new division under the strapline Galnet News Preview. We look at tomorrow's news so you don't have to. Now that he has doubled his reporting team, maybe he'll just palm it off an office intern commander, Beetlejuice. When she's not doing courtroom sketches, of course.
In a move that hints at either a severe lack of forward planning, or more sinisterly, insider trading, the Pilots Federation has asked for materials to be delivered to 10 brand new starports following their upgrade from outposts. They are asking for bauxite, building fabricators, galite, power generators, rutil, and thermal cooling units. We want to know, why has this need only now come to light? Is it a way for school friends of the galactic leaders to cash in by unloading their excess inventory? Have people supplying these goods had any experience in the field? Who authorised the contract? Are any of them friends of a man with dodgy eyesight? If we give them the benefit of the doubt and look for legitimate reasons for the unseemly haste in gathering these items, we know that some of the possible uses for them include making white paint from rutil, creating building materials from bauxite, making computer chips from the galite, and these preparations for the much vaunted walking about the place and meeting people that we've heard so much about lately. And if so, is the paint going to be used by a lone pilot in a spacesuit hanging off the side of the station, painting his name in large letters? When these buildings are fabricated, will any of them actually have bedrooms, or is everyone still expected to sleep in their ships? Only time will tell. We say follow the money and keep an eye out to see who in the galaxy is now able to afford their own planet. As for the external decoration, we know it's not going to be white. This season's colour is definitely a shade of blue.
With everywhere from Normer's Expanse to Beagle Point being frequented by pilots of plenty over recent years, you'd be forgiven for thinking that civilization had been brought to just about everywhere. Apart, of course, from those permit-locked sectors, but they've probably got civilizations all to their own who really don't want humans cluttering up the place. However, the real extent of human civilization has a border. The surface. What might have been called the edge if you were a flat bubble believer, but as we're working in 3D these days, it's the best name we could come up with.
as you head farther from the heart of humanity, away to the edge of the Federation, Empire, or Alliance, you enter independent territory. Local warlords, bandits, and loners stake a claim to low population systems right out before you hit deep space. Dotted beyond them are a smattering of lonely systems with no neighbors to borrow their lawnmower and more than a little of "your type's not welcome here" going on. It's at these edges of civilization that you find small border outposts, dusty lanes where you're used to seeing roadways, a symbolic arch showing the town border, a hollow counter that corrects itself every once in a while. Previously unmapped and inaccessible to pilots, 3307 will herald in a new era for cowboys. Cowgirls, chaps, Stetsons, and Spurs. Scavenging, sampling, and shooting will be the order of the day. Sarsaparilla, chewing tobacco, spittoons, pianolas, and six-shooters. Gunslingers for hire, men with no name, and dukes galore. Yes, it evokes thoughts of the wild, wild west. Walking into town to the sound of a sign swinging in the breeze. The local undertaker taking measurements with his eyes and giving pilots a curt nod as they mosey on into town. An occasional wannabe lawkeeper pinned to a silver star, regretting having crossed a local outlaw. A silver star pinned to someone who'll do as they're told and keep their mouth shut. Sounds like something out of a movie. We here have seen pictures, and believe us, 3307 will be harking back to an era when your gun did the talking, and being clean-shaven was for young'uns.
In a blatant attempt to hide bad news, which some have described as the practice of dead-catting, one of the galaxy's little guys, Chief Technician Rory Webster, a man with an otherwise spotless record, has been charged with attempting to destroy Starship 1 in 3301. They kept that under their remlocks for a long time, didn't they? Online thesauruses have been melting under the deluge of inquiries for a printable synonym for scapegoat or patsy, as news emerged that critical records that would have exonerated Mr. Webster had been deleted. These records were stored on old-fashioned magnetic discs, and officials have tried to defend the practice of keeping these in a central vault at a power station, claiming that the high magnetic fields would have had no effect on the discs, and in any case, there are original paper copies. We found that these so-called originals were housed in a building that burned down in 3303, and all that was left of the contents was a sign saying, "Beware of the leopard." We are distrustful of the motives behind this show trial, and have advised Mr. Webster to be on the lookout for suspicious characters visiting his cell late at night.
Celebrations were launched in O'Connor City over in Van Manen's Star in the last few days after the final televised debate between the candidates from the Hutton Orbital and the Mad Monks of the Sublime Order of Van Manen's Star was hosted. As is usual for any election, the debate was compared by a local TV celebrity interviewing an all-round nice guy, Rex Bottoms. Unlike 20th century TV debates, this one was an entirely civil affair, although it was peppered with interruptions as the representatives of the two parties fell over themselves to be nice about each other. Hutton, of course, represented by Team Hotbox, retained its system via an overwhelming majority, logging over 99.999% of the votes. And that was only because Rampage ate the crayon he was supposed to mark his ballot paper with. The Monks, as usual, were campaigning for Hutton to win the system, as they're usually too busy washing their habits, sniffing the incense, and humming quietly to themselves in cloisters to be bothered. To be extra obliging, they handed over the keys to Jury Terminal as a thank you present. The completion of this election landslide also coincided with the appointment of the new Hot Boss for Hotbox, who attended the opening ceremony for the Hutton office at Jury with the immortal words, "I didn't do it and no one saw nothing. It was them other boys," followed by the cutting of the ribbon. Yes, we're delighted to announce that Malice XR3 has had greatness thrust upon him and will be spending the next few months writing letters to Alvin with apologies attached. Locals have been on a spending spree over at the record stores and system, and it's expected that the single Malice, Who the Funk is Malice, will enter the charts at number one, breaking all records since the firms went Star Trekking. Congratulations, Malice, and may the mug be with you.
I'm sure it won't surprise you that after being forced into an election in Van Maanen's Star, the populace emphatically endorsed Alvin as their fluffy leader of choice in a landslide victory. And this has allowed our influence to rocket. We're now at a point where we can let that stabilise again. We have a number of systems over 60%, but only one causing concern, which is Trepin, where we could do with stopping the rise and hopefully lowering it a few points. The big news this week is the terrorist attack in Avik. We aren't sure who is behind it, although we obviously suspect the dastardly Don or one of his allies. But being targeted in this way is causing major negative effects for our security and economic states. We need to organise legal deliveries of weapons for use by local authorities. I'll repeat that. Legal deliveries. And by bounty hunting. For further updates and instructions, please hang around the various BGS channels and await instructions once we have a plan of action from Snuggles McKeague. In Colonia, we're in election in Tyr. What a surprise. Pythias? Well, we're just there. No one seems to know why. I suggest you ignore it. Deriso is in outbreak, so smash the prophets shipping meds around. Win the election in Tyr. Again. And do whatever it is you do to have fun out there. Over to Norma.
On Saturday at 9 p.m. BST, regular Hutton does CQC. Have you ever fancied having a go at CQC but can't find anyone to join up with? Why not join this regular event organised by the Hotbox team? Now, just because it's the Hotboxers running the event, that doesn't mean that commanders on other platforms are unwelcome. Far from it. So come along, see who else is around, organise a team or join one, it's up to you. Use the phrase, "for the mug," when entering the lobby to show your Hutton loyalty. It was nearly curtains for Senator Drew Wagar this evening, as he was due to begin his Astro tour, but owing to the state of his home base being in infrastructure failure, and since he forgot to pack his AFMU, another flipping module's unusable, then he had to wait for the replacement unit to be shipped. He reported that being unable to take his ship out into the galaxy has done wonders for the bit of his life that he actually gets paid for, and he's been working on his Smith Corona all day. Thanks to the wonders of hyperspace, though, he did get his replacement module a short time ago, so it's no longer curtains, but curtain up. And that's it from the community this week. We do know that the third episode of the 3306 SRV Slaughter Bowl took place on Sunday, but everyone's keeping tight-lipped over what actually happened. Flossie will be along later to give us all the information about the new community goals.